are escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey folks, welcome to the Absolute Truth, Absolutely podcast, your repository for truth, and it is powered by LWYM, Living Word Youth Ministries, in Miami, Florida. You have just entered the space where obfuscation cannot enter, but where truth, veracity, will set you free. My name is Gio. I am the youth pastor of LWYM, and joining me is a cohort in ministry and a longtime friend, Danny Orihuela. Sir, take a bow.
Welcome, guys and gals. Gio, how are you doing, my friend? How's everything doing, man? How's everything?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm sipping down some Arnold Palmer while we're having our chat here. What is it that you call this, the drink of champions?
Yes, that is the beverage of champions, my friend. See, absolutely. I am sipping down on the beverage of lesser champions. I am sipping down on the H2O.
Oh, H2O. But you know, the thing that I found about, my father did some investigative journalism, which what we're going to touch on today is the antagonism of investigative journalism. But he was doing some investigative journalism on tea. And the problem with tea is that it tends, if you drink it in massive amounts, it tends to provide drowsiness to the person who drinks it with regularity. And being that I'm not addicted to the drink, but being that I am somewhat a connoisseur of Arnold Palmer, I've noticed lately that I do have this tendency to drowse off. So if halfway through this podcast episode you see me snoring, then you'll have to wake me up.
Yes. No, well, the Arnold Palmer is I don't know. I got to go against that report because it has a little lemonade in there, no?
Well,
it eases the effects.
You would think with all the sugar that lemonade has, it counteracts the effect of the tea, right?
Yes.
Well, folks, just what we were mentioning, we have to report from the Western Front here that Rolling Stone, even though we must admit, Dano, that Rolling Stone lost all credibility when it debuted, but whatever little credibility they did have in the eyes of the idolizing throngs when they placed one of the Sarnaev brothers on the cover, now what we have to report on and comment on this particular podcast episode, I think puts the proverbial nail in the coffin for Rolling Stone.
Man. That cover was disgusting, man. I personally wasn't a victim of the events, but man, that was disgusting to put that guy on the cover. Not only that, but to portray him almost like a rock star, dude. It looks a lot like the old Mick Jagger covers that they used to do back in the day, man. That was, wow.
Well, considering the Sarnaev's younger brother's haircut, I think Bob Dylan called Rolling Stone he wants it back. He wants it back. He was going to sue the Sarnaev brother. The problem is he might be facing death row. So one never knows, right? But anyways, the reason that we bring this to the fore of the ATA podcast is because people who listen to this show are of a mature age. They are college-aged individuals. And I know that in many circles, Rolling Stone happens to be a hipster magazine. And the reason that they purchase it is because they want to be in touch with everything that is happening in the world of rock and roll and the music industry. But the truth of the matter is that Rolling Stone has always been a source for moral degradation, dilapidation, and desensitization, there we go, in our society. And if we look at what has happened with this report by Sabrina Erdley, and it was titled A Rape on Campus, this has completely torn asunder any myth, which those of us who are clear-thinking individuals have seen right through what Rolling Stone and managing editor Will Dana have attempted to do with Rolling Stone, and that is to present itself as a serious periodical that indulges in serious news, but in truth, they're an agenda-driven periodical, very liberal agenda. And this also showcases what happens within the mainstream media and those that play a part in that hierarchy, that they want to disseminate their ideology, their particular brand of erroneous thought processes to the culture. But guess what, folks? Eventually, it's going to portray itself for what it is. Now, that being said, Dano, you and I, we've had this conversation off air. There are going to be those that will defend Rolling Stone till the death. It doesn't matter if they were caught doing what ISIS does in the Middle East. they're going to defend them because they love Rolling Stone.
Oh, no, yeah, the fanboys will definitely come out of the woodwork, and they have come out of the woodwork when it comes to these things. But I find it so funny, Gio, how now all of a sudden it's the new trend where everyone wants to get into, you know, social issues, political issues. I mean, Rolling Stone, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, Rolling Stone came up as, you know, kind of like covering the underground music, you know, the music that not too many people heard of, the indie music. You know, they moved into more of the mainstream stuff. But now we see that, you know, Rolling Stone is the latest to fall into this new, you know, cultural, you know, shock, you know, movement, as we like to call it, you know, where, like you had mentioned earlier, that perfect example where they put a Zarniev on the cover. I mean, that had to be a publicity stunt. No, I mean, that was just to get the numbers up because no one's reading that garbage anymore. But you know, you see that they try and put their hand into actual, you know, journalistic reporting, and wow, they failed epically. I mean, we see the evidence of that.
I read, and I know you have too, I read the entire piece, and from the onset, it seemed to me as if it was an article that massively exaggerated what was going on. Even this girl, Jackie, the pseudonym that was given to this young girl, which not everyone, I don't think really anyone knows who this girl even is in the first place. It hasn't been discovered who this Jackie fellow is. Let's give, for those people that are not aware of what is happening, background on this particular story. Sabrina Erdley, she brings this to Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone decides to promote this idea because the radical feminists of our day and age are speaking about how women are oppressed on college campuses, that they are constantly being raped and women are not speaking up about it. And this was the intention of the piece. This so-called Jackie, she arrives at the Phi Kappa Psi, if I'm not mistaken, that's the name of the fraternity. She shows up there during a party one night with a young man, and he introduces her into a darkened room, which, by the way, we must ask ourselves, if you know what goes on at frat parties, why would any clear-thinking, clear-minded young individual show up at a frat party in the first place? These are very rowdy places, right? And usually where alcoholism is rampant, and also people lose their wits and they do things that are against the law.
Yeah, one thing I do want to point out, you know, and I hope that our listeners don't take this the wrong way, but when you put yourself in a situation like that, I mean, I think the next logical conclusion to be, I'm not saying that just because you do this, it will happen, but you're putting yourself in an environment where these kind of things are more prone to happen. I don't think I'm outstepping any boundaries by stating that. And again, I pose the same question, especially to our youth. I mean, if you know the kind of things that happen in these parties and you don't want to be a part of that, why go in the first place? I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, that's to say, you know, I don't want to get robbed, but say I go to the wrong side of town, you know, at 12 o'clock at night, I know I'm more prone to something happening. I mean, I think that parallel kind of, at least for me, it makes a little more sense. It makes things a little easier to understand. Why put yourself in a situation where things like that are more prone to happen is the question I would pose.
But Dan, you and I both know we're living in a generation that looks to promote, or rather excuse, use any pretext it can to justify its want of licentiousness.
Absolutely.
And especially the youth, when they want to participate in sinful activity, they will reach for even the lamest and absurd excuse in order to participate in sinful activity. And they will say, well, I was just going there for a good time. Well, if you know that there's going to be trouble in a particular place, I don't go to that place because the possibilities are very high that I am going to be involved, either be involved or be the victim of a certain situation. Look, let's even say this. I know this is not politically correct, but then again, we're not politically correct people. You and I both know, and everyone else on this planet in the Western Hemisphere knows, that if you enter into a neighborhood that is filled with poverty and mostly blacks, you'd normally try to stay away from those areas because you know that these poverty-stricken places are also filled with crime, okay? So yep. You say, I'm going to stay away from that place because I don't want to be mugged. I don't want to be the victim there. So you stay away from those places. That's why you look for other places where maybe there's a little more money and people are more civilized there, and that's what you do. It's the same thing with fraternity parties. When you see what happens in fraternity parties, these fraternities exist so that these students may indulge in sinful activity. So why go there in the first place? I think your point is very well established. Well, continuing with the story, the condensed version of the, and by the way, the article in its original form was so lengthy. It seemed to, I mean, Moby Dick is what, a 500-page 500-page novel, and it seemed lighter to me than this article.
Okay. No, and the funny part about it is all that work, and it turned out all to be baloney. That's the worst part.
Hey, that's, man, the worst part. Oscar Mayer might be looking to sue you because...
Because of all the baloney?
Exactly. So what happens? We find that Jackie shows up there. She's taken to an upper room on the second floor, and lo and behold, it's dark there, and she, you know, is trying to grope around to see who's present. And lo and behold, they smash her through a glass table, and they start raping her on top of the shards of glass that are on the floor. And she eventually leaves in a bloodied a pool of her own blood, which she is imbibed in, and she informs her friends, and she never went to the police about it. Well, this caused all sorts of consternation in the media, and they tried to go against Phi Kappa Psi. The University of Virginia officially shut down any fraternity activity on campus for the months. But then there were a few people that began to suspect that there was falsehood here, because this Jackie wouldn't come forward. She would not identify herself. And then her friends started taking to the mainstream media and saying everything that was reported was false. We did not find that she was a bloodied mess. We did not find that she had her clothes torn from her, as the report says. This is a complete fabrication. Lo and behold, we find out that Jackie seems to want her 15 minutes of fame. And now she has lawyered up and she's not answering any questions. Typically, in this sort of situation, Dan will correct me if I'm wrong, if a person lawyers up after an incident like this, it means that they weren't telling the truth all along, right?
Oh, man, yes. I mean, the admission of guilt there, as we saw in a lot of the reporting that has happened in the aftermath of all of this, is now all of a sudden she's kept quiet. You know, she's lawyered up, she's walled up, she's kept quiet. And my whole thing is, I mean, if this really happened to you, and, you know, I wouldn't wish that upon anybody, but if something like this happened to you, wouldn't the first thing you want happening is for these people to be behind bars? I mean, the first thing you do, you go to the cops, you go to the authorities, and you cooperate with them. Because as of now, we've seen that she's not only is she not cooperating with her defense attorney team, she's not cooperating with the police investigation, which, as far as I know, I believe is still ongoing. I don't think it's a closed issue yet.
They haven't closed it yet. But Dano, correct me if I'm wrong here. This is the problem that we have in our society. Instead of calling people liars, we don't do that anymore.
Because we victimize them.
Exactly. The problem is it's too uncouth. It's too un-PC. We can't do that. But at one point or another, you have to criminalize the act of perjury, because innocent people could go to jail for something that they did not do. By the way, Sabrina Erdley, the so-called journalist who put together this piece, and it was published on Rolling Stone, she has retracted herself. Again, I'm going to use quotation marks, air quotation marks with my hands here. She has retracted herself. But at the same time, she says, I've gone through hell during the last couple of months. Am I supposed to sympathize with you? Am I supposed to have a pity party for you? Here, Mrs. Erdley, my two fingers are playing the world's smallest violin that my heart bleeds for you. Are you serious? So you tried to, and by the way, she has not apologized to the people. She did an Al Sharpton. She accused people falsely, and she's not retracting.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
She has accused these people falsely. Danny, am I incorrect here? Am I wrong in stating this? Why aren't they criminalized for this? Because you might be sending innocent people to jail for slandering individuals for something that they have not done.
Oh man, this kind of reporting, I mean, Gio, as you know, we've been friends for a while. I used to be in the communications field. I used to be in, the journalism field. Gio, this kind of reporting is one of, if not the most irresponsible forms of reporting, where you simply bash somebody, you bash their reputation, which in this nowadays, reputation has come to be something very valued in our culture. And to take that from someone to completely tear down the reputation of a person, and in this case, it was a group of individuals, man, that is real irresponsible. And as it comes out, as we see now that they're retracting everything, man, to base something on lies and just single-handedly just go in there and bash people, because nowadays it's super easy to go in and bash someone and not care about the consequences. But now that the consequences, and now that, they're lighting the fire under Rolling Stone and under this lady, now she's feeling the pressure of the hot seat, as we like to say. And dude, that's irresponsible. I mean, even going back, I don't know if you remember, this happened a while back. Remember, we had a similar situation happen with the Duke lacrosse team. Even to now, man, even to this day, those kids are still, they're still frowned upon. Even
their
though,
reputations
were
tarnished.
Oh, done. They're absolutely done, man.
And
so,
we still have not received an official apology from Miles Sharpton.
Oh, of course not.
The great vilifier.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, even Satan says, this man slanders better than I do. So after all this happens, then we'll... Look, I ask anyone, go to YouTube. It's readily available there. Go to YouTube and look up Will Dana, managing editor of Rolling Stone, and see what he has to say about what he calls or classifies journalism. The same thing with Sabrina Erdley. They are agenda-driven. Folks, what characterizes a reporter, what characterizes an individual who reports the news, is objectivity, not influencing or hewing the report to make it seem or rather communicate what your ideological stance wants to communicate to the public. Notice that they place themselves in the midst of the controversy. It's not the story itself, is their agenda. It is their ideology that is placed in the epicenter. And that is what is promulgated to the people. Now, why do we bring this forth? Why are we even commenting on this UVA story? Well, if that's your question to begin with, then I believe that moral outrage and indignation is something that the listener that thinks this way has become desensitized to. And I would advise the listeners that they believe this, that they have adopted this attitude, that they wake up and become indignant, because these people believe that you are a fool. They're trying to insult your intelligence. But correct me if I'm wrong here, Danny. The thing is that our society, they've become accustomed, conditioned to be lied to continually, and they not remonstrate about it. They are perfectly okay, fine with someone insulting their intelligence and not becoming indignant about it.
Oh, man, dude, the mainstream media does that to a perfection, where this culture nowadays, the people nowadays, the generation nowadays, oh, just because the talking head on the TV says it, no, it has to be true. It has to be right. I mean, they wouldn't lie to me, right? When we see the proof in the pudding once and again. I mean, look at this guy, Brian Williams. I mean, he was a guy, he was an announcer that has been trusted, I say trusted with the air quotation marks, for years. And
we're using now, a lot of that tonight.
Yes. And you see that now the guy turned out to be, a complete phony, And I encourage people, especially, it's something that we've always talked about, is for people to open their eyes and realize that not everything that's told to you is 100% true. I mean, up to a certain point, you got to put on your Sherlock Holmes cap, and do a little investigating for yourself, come to conclusions for yourself based on what you have in front of you, not just simply what someone is telling you.
But isn't this the result of our convenience-driven society? Ever since the advent of modern technology, I'm not speaking about the industrial age, I'm speaking about the modern advent, the advent of the modern technological age. This is one of the things that I think has become of detriment to our society. not the technology itself, but people have allowed themselves to become indolent because they are depending on items or electronic articles to do things for them that they should be doing for themselves. And now there's a culture of dependency that is created where if the device doesn't do it for me, or if the reporter, or if the institution that is supposed to provide the information doesn't give it to me, then I'm not going to bother with personal investigation, because at the end of the day, I'm not really interested in continuing my own education, and I'm not interested in knowing the truth. I'm okay with Brian Williams lying to me about being in a Chinook, being shot down, and then finding out 12 years later that he was lying, fabricating the story in order to make himself seem as if he were as valorous as some of the military men and women. I mean, the same thing with Lena Dunham from Girls fame, this situation with Rolling Stone. At one point or another, these people, once they're discredited, we have to eliminate them from the public forum. How do we do that? Stop buying the magazines.
Yep.
Stop indulging in their material, because this is what they make a living off of, lying to us. I mean, even in, you and I were talking about it off air, Danny. The whole situation with Indiana and the Restoration of Freedom of Religion Act, this was a concocted controversy. What, 20-something states now have similar laws on their books protecting freedom of association, which I believe was taken away from us in the 1964 Civil Rights Act, specifically Title II and Title VII. More on that and maybe in a future program. But the truth of the matter is, Dano, even in that, that was a concocted controversy. Look at what recently happened with Memories Pizza in a small town in Indiana. What made headlines recently was that a lesbian from Seattle, Washington, had donated to Memories Pizza, which was symbolic, but at the same time, her message was very well received, in that she said, "I apologize for the homosexual community behaving as intolerant and bigoted as they have behaved." Lo and behold, there are persons out there that are not part of the elite group that they believe that people should be left alone and that freedom of association should be left intact. It's not as the agenda-driven media would like to portray it, that the mass heap of persons, this is what they're thinking, this is what they do. Folks, if you're going to look to the elite, whether it be big corporations or big entities or government, for representation, I think you've looked in the wrong place.
No, and it was refreshing to see, at least, you know, for someone like that, of that, you know, that lifestyle, to come out and support Memories Pizza. I mean, look, the numbers don't lie. I think in the first 3-4 days, Memories Pizza raised, I think it was over $500,000 for these people. And Gio, you bring an excellent point, where it's just a matter of, I mean, where did we go wrong, in the sense that we stopped being, not, I don't want to say free thinking people, but people that think for ourselves. I think that's the phrase I want to use. You know, we've become so desensitized to everything around us that, you know, like you say, it's kind of like we're the little kid sitting in the high chair and we want mommy to, you know, feed us the little, you know, here comes the airplane, you know, make things real easy for us. And we've forgotten how to, you know, prepare our own food for, you know, I'm using it in a, you know, as an example, but not a literal one, but we as a culture have forgotten to think for ourselves. We've forgotten how to, you know, draw our own conclusions. We've become so, as you mentioned, you used the perfect word for this earlier, we've become so dependent that I think that in that dependency, we allow these lies that we get from, you know, mainstream media, you know, whatever, it be radio, TV, whatever the case may be. We allow these talking heads to make our decisions for us, to think for us. And that's a big liberty that, you know, I think that we should start taking back.
Well, to your point, Daniel, you want to speak about desensitization. There's that word again. You're going to have to practice
it's
it.
It's the Arnold Palmer tea, my friend.
Yeah, that's what it is. It seems to be causing my tongue to go dormant. Remember, you were mentioning, we were alluding to the Boston bomber, one half of the pair, Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, yeah, the younger brother,
yeah.
After they had published his selfie on the cover of Rolling Stone, and this was, I think, July of 2013.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, 20% increase in sales. after they published this particular issue.
Yep.
Need we say more?
A terrorist on the cover of a magazine, and that's what sells. I mean, that's sad, my friend. That is very sad.
Need we say more? Folks, we have reached the end of our podcast episode, and we leave you with a word of encouragement. Please do not trust the sources out there that they say that they are there to inform you, to elucidate, to enlighten you. Most likely, they are there to lie to you and to propagandize you. I have stated in various articles that I believe that today's mainstream media are the brainchilds and the illegitimate daughters and sons of Joseph Goebbels, the Ministry of Propaganda of the Nazi Party in Germany. Why would you say that, Gio? Well, Adolf Hitler, one of the things that he tried to do with the German people in order to rile up a sense of nationalism and support of what they were doing, which was mass genocide, by the way, was to lie to them. And among them was to drop newspapers, which the Nazi Party themselves would print, full of lies of how the rest of the world was attempting to attack them and vilify the German people and to undermine their national sovereignty, when in truth they were looking to, or Hitler was, and the Nazi Party was looking to overtake the entire world and put it under Nazi control, including the United States. So, folks, what is the advice that we leave you with? Well, the Bible very clearly delineates what a Christian should do. Bereans were more noble than those that were Thessalonians. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily to see what Paul was saying, to verify what he was saying was true or not. You find this in Acts 17:11. And then we also find that Paul says to examine all things, not just a few things. He says all things. Examine all things, hold fast to that which is good, and discard all forms of evil. The Bible is very clear, explicit in its counsel to believers as to what we should do with every single information that comes before our eyes and before our ears as well. We want to thank you so much for listening to this podcast. You can download it via our website, lwim.org, and also find it on the iTunes store via Absolute Truth. Absolutely. If you are in the Miami vicinity, visit us every single Wednesday night, 8 p.m. We gather for our Wednesday night youth meetings at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. And for more information, you can call us at 305-461-9929. And lastly, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to drop us a line by writing an email, info@lwim.org, info@lwim.org. Well, that's all the time we have left for this edition. We will meet once again on next week's edition of the podcast. For Danny Orihuela, this has been Gio. We wish you adieu and Godspeed.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWIM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwim.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.